This has been a good Pentecost day. Tonight I would invite your attention to just a portion from the sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Verses 32 and 33 of the second chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. He's speaking here about Jesus Christ exalting him, which is what the Holy Spirit has given to us to do. And he says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and he has poured out what you now see and hear. Will you join with me in prayer? And I would invite you for a few moments to pray for me, if you would, that God might touch my lips to speak and our ears to hear. Will we pray? Lord, as we heard Stanley Jones pray, come like a wind and blow over our spirits. Come like a fire and cleanse our hearts. And come with the ability to glorify you and to communicate your salvation to every man with whom we come in contact. Touch our lips to speak and our ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The church begins at Pentecost. Not just began, but until the church experiences Pentecost, and until you and I experience Pentecost, we're really not fully part of the Lord's body in the way that God wants us to be. Just as the children of Israel were not really a nation, even though God had delivered them by the shedding of blood and had brought them through the Red Sea, they were not really a nation until they got to Mount Sinai. And there the law of God was given and was received, and in the receiving of that law, a code of life by which to live and a discipline, the children of Israel became a nation. And it's significant that the rabbis used the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost, to celebrate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And it doesn't take too much intelligence to see the connection there, that this was the outpouring of the law where the disciples of Christ, who had been saved by the shedding of blood, came not to the mount which breathed fire and brimstone and couldn't be touched, but came to Mount Jerusalem from above, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, and they received the law of love stamped upon their hearts. They found out they weren't just saved in order to miss hell. They weren't just saved so that they could enjoy salvation, but they received a discipline. They received marching orders. And the disciples of Jesus Christ became the church of Jesus Christ, the body. And until a church catches this, until your church catches it, my church catches it, and until you as a Christian and I as a Christian are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're still on the other side of Pentecost. We're not really a part of the church in the way that God wants us to be. But when we have received the Holy Spirit, power, as the choir sang so beautifully tonight, I don't know how we sit still and don't praise God more when we have singing like that. Didn't that reach your soul? But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, then we become a part of the fellowship of Pentecost. The fellowship that fills the New Testament, the fellowship that changed the world, and the fellowship by the grace of God that's changing the world today. And I want to just bring out about four characteristics of that fellowship that's given to us in the book of Acts, but also is the real fellowship that we can join and we are members of, hopefully tonight, as we receive again the infilling of the Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost. The fellowship of Pentecost was a fellowship of certainty of faith. as opposed to, say, the wisdom of man and the scheming of men, if you try to dream up a more illogical, hard-to-believe scheme with which to change the world, I don't think you could go much farther afield than this little band of followers of Jesus. In the first place, they didn't really have a systematic theology. They hadn't thought the beginning through from the end. They had things turned around. They thought Jesus was coming back immediately. Their heads weren't on straight, but their faith was in a man. He was a Jew to begin with. Now, if you were going to have a hero in the Roman world, he shouldn't be a Jew. And then they admitted that he had been shamed and degraded and spit upon and crucified, and they'd watched him die. That kind of dumb thing to do, to go around trying to change the world with that kind of hero. But of course, then they started saying he'd been raised from the dead. And I can just see people say, right, he really, you know, that's really a some story. Where'd you dream that one up? But you know, what happened on the day of Pentecost brought back the promise of Jesus. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to go away. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to be with you. The Father's going to be with you. We're going to be one. And they said, you can blame Jesus on what's happening today. And it wasn't so much what they knew, it was who they knew. Their faith was certain and their faith was sure. And it isn't any different today. When the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes, our faith is certain, our faith is sure, and we're not afraid to say, I don't know, to lots of questions. And Christians can even disagree about little specifics. But when it comes right down to it, we have some basic things that we know. Jesus Christ lived. Jesus Christ did die for our sins. Jesus Christ did rise again from the dead. And Jesus Christ has poured out his Spirit upon us, and he lives within our heart. Praise God. A certainty of faith. And then the fellowship of believers was just that. It became a body-centered fellowship. I don't think it's any different today. It's so easy for people to be Christians on Sunday, and in most of the churches of the world today, they fit Jesus in and they fit the churches in. But when the Pentecostal fellowship, the fellowship of Pentecost, is real, it's like it is here in the second chapter of Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And you know, it's like that when the Holy Spirit's poured out upon us. Somehow we center our lives in the church. Before Pentecost, they all related to Jesus. He was the common center. And they respected each other for relating to him. But something happened when the Spirit was outpoured, and Jesus wasn't over here somewhere so that they could relate, but Jesus was in here. And so they could relate to each other. They were part of each other, and they became a fellowship. Not that they agreed, oh, they withstood each other to the face so sharply that they changed their missionary bands around, and they did think, oh, they had committees and they couldn't agree whether it should be blue or red. Inside joke. But you know, let something happen. Let something happen to one of the fellowship. What did the rest of them do? They went to prayer. And they prayed. And they prayed until their brother was released from prison. They loved each other. They cared for each other. And you know, there's something about the fellowship of Pentecost that's just the same today. We can go at each other in committee, hammer and tongs, and we can disagree, and we can say, you know, you ought to be more concerned. The young people tell us you old people ought to be more concerned about ecology and things like that, and we should. And we say to the young people, hey, you ought to be more concerned about some of these other matters, and they should. But when it comes right down to it, if the Holy Spirit has filled us and baptized us, Jesus has poured out his Spirit upon us, we are truly one. Talk about the ecumenical movement. That's what it's all about. The fellowship of believers. Then the fellowship of Pentecost also, if I could remember my notes, I left them in my study tonight. Maybe if I keep preaching this way, some of my members are going to ask me to leave them in there every time. It's in there somewhere. It'll come out in just a minute. I know my last point anyway. Oh, yeah, it was right. It had to do with indescribable joy. The fellowship of believers, the fellowship of Pentecost, was a fellowship that something happened on the inside that they couldn't keep secret, and they glorified Jesus with this experience. It's a little different than some of so-called Pentecostal experience we have today, where people say, have you had this exotic experience? Wasn't that thrilling where we went over here and, my, we just had a service that lasted hours and hours and everybody was just slain in the Spirit? I don't want to make fun of anybody. I'm not, God being my witness. But these people glorified God, and every person heard in his own language. There was an ability to communicate the love of God. And yet there were some that said, these people are drunk. They've been drinking. Isn't that interesting? Filled with the Holy Spirit and people accusing them of being drunk. And there's a parallel there, that there's something in a heavenly way that's intoxicating about being filled with the Spirit until it just overflows. I'm not saying that you're so happy, 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 you don't feel any pain anymore. But there's something about it when the Holy Spirit comes, there's a joy there that's contagious, and people say there's something different about that person. I tell you, we can have righteousness, we can have peace, but until we have the joy of the Holy Spirit, and not some joy that's worked up until a pastor says, everybody smile. On this next verse, let's everybody get, let's work up a big blessing so that everybody gets enthusiastic here tonight. I'm talking about the joy that comes from surrender to God and waiting in the closet until God has poured out His Spirit upon us. And then when we come together, He comes in His own way. And people say, what in the world is the matter with those people? You know, I'm thinking about the last point now, don't you? The fellowship of believers. Just wait with me here. Had to do with a personal fulfillment. I'm not used to preaching without notes. And it's all in there, but it just has to filter its way down. I'm a little slower than some people, you know. When the Holy Spirit comes, He makes us the very most that we can possibly be. Until we have given Him our all, we can't hope to be all that God would have us to be. And if we, until we have, we're not going to be able to change people's lives. But after the Holy Spirit was poured out, Jesus became the center of this fulfillment. And instead of remembering what Jesus was like, they literally experienced fellowship with Him. They took knowledge of these men, Peter and James, that they had been with Jesus. And instead of them trying to teach other people what Jesus had been like, they just introduced people to Jesus. Can you see the difference? What a difference it is. And instead of trying to recall and remember, what would Jesus have done in this situation? They just literally went to prayer and then they obeyed Jesus. They knew what He would do. They knew what He wanted them to do. Until we read in the third and the fourth chapters of Acts, where they bring them up before the authorities and command them to change the way that they're witnessing. And Peter says, we ought to obey God rather than man. Jesus was real, and He filled them, and He fulfilled them. Well, basically, that's the outline. I don't know if I can remember it again. Let's see. The fellowship of believers was had a certain faith. Help me. They were a fellowship of believers. They had an indescribable joy. A body-centered fellowship. Isn't that good? I preached better than I knew. My sermon outline came back to me. And I want to throw it out to you this evening. Have you experienced the power of Pentecost? Are you a part of the fellowship of Pentecost? My concern, beyond just preaching a sermon, my concern is that a lot of our holiness people and some people even in the Wollaston Church and maybe the church where you live, we know the theology. We know how to be sanctified. Oh, it's life plus consecration plus faith equals sanctification. But we're living over on the other side of Pentecost. We haven't moved really into the fellowship of Pentecost. And I'm concerned until we rediscover what it means to be sanctified holy, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to let Jesus be real in our hearts and in our lives. And I want to get the theory and the ideal translated into the practical and into the real in my heart. Don't you? How do we do it? Number one, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Make it the passion of your heart. If you're not sanctified holy this evening, your number one assignment is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, dare to make your life centered in your church. It's not the thing to do. It's not the popular thing to do anymore. But dare to center your Christian experience in your church and ask God to help you with your unique spectrum of gifts until your God is able to use you. And then number three, ask God to make your church an open fellowship, a place where people coming in can feel comfortable, feel loved. I tell you, the fellowship of believers, the fellowship of Pentecost goes on. And we can all be part of it. Let me pray for you. And then I'd like for us to close by singing on Pentecost Sunday night, "Oh, spread the tidings round, the Comforter's come." Shall we pray? We thank you tonight, Father, for the truth of the word that comes home clear to us. We want to be a part of the fellowship of Pentecost. We want that the Holy Spirit that Jesus poured out upon those disciples at Pentecost will fill us and have us completely. We pray that you'll help each of us this evening to make it our business to be an active part of this great fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 275. Number 275. Shall we stand as we sing? Christian talk, proclaim. stanza.
Oh, Father's love divine, how shall do one before this town?
Everybody shake hands and you're dismissed. God bless you.